Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. This is David's, when he heard David speak to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his head, by his beard, and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shaaraim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul and with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." So far God's word. Let's ask him for a blessing on this word. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have your word open before us, we pray that you would help us to hear your word this morning. That our hearts would be open to your challenge, open to your encouragement this morning. Help us to focus on you, your greatness, your glory, what you have done for us, what you continue to do for us. Work in our hearts this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. As I mentioned already this morning, we have before us this morning perhaps the most well-known story in the Bible. David versus Goliath. And we could look at the story and say something like this. Who is your Goliath? Who is your Goliath? What you need to do this morning is identify your Goliath. And then you can take your stone, whatever that stone is, and slay that Goliath. You will be successful. Amen. Our closing song this morning is Jerusalem the Golden. Except it's not that simple, is it? For starters, there's no promise in God's word that we're always going to conquer our Goliaths. We've missed out a few steps as we consider how we conquer our Goliath. If that's how we conquer our Goliath as well. There's so much more here in the story this morning. But the reality is that we do face battles in our life. Physical struggles, physical battles, physical trials, but also a spiritual battle. And that's what's going on here in our story this morning as well. A battle between the forces of God and the forces of darkness. We need to consider that as well this morning. So how do we face our battles? How do we fight our battles? How do we win those battles? Can we win those battles? Those are the questions that we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, there's a lot here in this chapter. It's a big chapter as we've read through it. I contemplated dividing it up and taking a couple of weeks, but I think the best way to deal with this is to look at the story as a whole. What that does mean is that we're not going to cover every single detail in the passage. And if there's something here that you think, oh, well, you missed that, or what does this mean? Come and talk with me about it, or email me, or ring me during the week, and we'll talk about some of those finer details. But today, big picture stuff. And this morning we're going to see our main idea, the main idea I want you to take home, is that the Lord saves us in battle. The Lord saves us in battle. And the first thing we're going to see is that we face real fear. We face real fears. Look at the picture of Goliath if you have your Bibles open before you. 1 Samuel 17. It's a pretty impressive picture that we have of him. And we're meant to see this picture. Goliath stands at about 3 meters tall. That's not quite twice my height. His armor that he was wearing weighed approximately 57 kilograms. His spear is described as a weaver's rod. A weaver's rod, I had to look that up, is what's on the top of a loom and the bottom of a loom that holds all the weaving on. Imagine a post is how it's described in some ways. And the tip of this spear, this weaver's loom, weighed about 6 kilograms. On top of all this, Goliath had walking before him a shield bearer, carrying a shield that most likely would have covered Goliath, so that all you could see of Goliath was his head. There was only one weakness that Goliath had. Boys and girls, can you tell me what that weakness is? What was the weakness that, what was the area that Goliath was weak as he stood there on the battle line? Can someone tell me? I see a few people making symbols. Someone call out. His head, his forehead, that's right. That was the only area of weakness, as we shall see. But we're given this picture here to see how impressive Goliath is, how much of a challenge he is. And in verse 11 we read this. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, he came out and taunted the Israelites. When they saw him, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And they were right to be afraid. Who would take on Goliath? Who could take on Goliath? Here is, in many ways, an impossible enemy to face. A real enemy. A real enemy. Real fears. And brothers and sisters, there are many things in our life that we face that we are afraid of. Real enemies that we face. The real enemy of death. Most people, at some time or in some way, are afraid of dying. If you're not, then you are, in many ways, in the minority. But what are you afraid of? What are the things that keep you awake at night? What are you anxious about? What do you lose sleep with? Sleep on? Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's the mistakes that you've made in life. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you lie awake at night being fearful for others. Maybe you fear losing control of your life. Maybe you fear the spiritual battle that you are facing and that you are fighting. These are real fears. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, that some of these enemies may conquer us. Every single person here, without exception, will face the enemy of death. What do you do? How do you face your fears? Because when fear paralyzes you, when it takes you down sinful paths, that's when you get into trouble. But never forget, these are real fears that we face. We are human beings. We are broken human beings. We face real enemies. And on top of that, we face our greatest arch enemy, the devil. Yes, the Bible tells us that his power is restrained, but he still remains a real enemy. The devil knows that he's going down. He knows the end point. But before that time, the devil is serious in his battle. He knows he's going down. But he wants to take as many people as he can with him. These are the enemies we face. The real fears that we have. But the question is, how do we face those fears? How do we fight those battles? And that brings us to our second point. Our second point is that we can be confident. But the question is, in what? Israel saw the enemy and they feared. David saw the enemy and he saw something different. He saw how Goliath was taunting the people of Israel. He saw how Goliath was taunting the God of Israel. And in verse 12 of chapter 17, we have a transition as David comes onto the scene. David is introduced into the story, and with David comes confidence. He sees the problem. He's sent by Jesse to go and get word of what's happening in the battle. Jesse is too old to go to fight. His three sons are sent, And David has gone to bring some supplies and get a report. And in verse 26, David asks the hard question as he sees what's going on. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David's offended. God's name is at stake here. Now, David could be confident in a number of things. He could be confident as he offers to go and fight. He could be confident in his own abilities. Note what he says there in verse 34, how he and following, how he's fought lions and bears. David could be confident in his own strength. He had the ability. He could be confident in the armor that he was given. Saul wanted to offer him protection. He put all this armor on. He could have placed confidence in that. And as we face our fears and our enemies, it can be similar for us, brothers and sisters. We can be confident in our own abilities. The power within ourselves, we can do it. We can fight our own Goliaths. We can be confident in things that we can use, tools that we can use. Psychology, medication, self-medication. We can do what Saul did and simply place our heads in the sand and hope that our trials and our problems go away. We could be confident in those things, but ultimately they will disappoint. Other people will let you down. You will let yourself down. You may have heard the saying, God never gives you more than you can handle. Have you heard that? God never gives you more than you can handle. I'm going to say to you this morning that that is absolutely 100% wrong. God does give you more than you can handle. You may have experienced that in your own life, where the waters are up above your head. You've seen others do the same. God does give you more than you can handle, brothers and sisters. He gives you more than you can handle on your own. Do you get that? That's vitally important. He gives you more than you can handle on your own. But with God on your side, with God helping you, you can face anything. God never gives you more than you can handle without his help. That's vital to see. And David knew that. Brothers and sisters, we can place confidence in ourselves to face our battles, our struggles, our trials in life, but that's not where David placed his confidence. Humanly speaking, David faced an impossible threat, a real threat, but he knew he couldn't deal with it on his own. He places his trust to deal with Goliath in God, and that brings us to our third and final point this morning. We rely on God's word. This is where our confidence can be. David could have placed his confidence in other things, in himself, in the tools that he had, but he didn't. In verse 26, David identifies the battle. Defying the armies of the living God. Goliath versus God, by implication. Verse 45, as he faces Goliath, he says this. Verse 45, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And notice confidence. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and so on. So that, verse 47, all this assembly will know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Humanly speaking, this is no confident and no contest. A 3-foot man with a shield in front of him, with massive armor and weapons, versus a little boy. Humanly speaking, no contest. But spiritually speaking, it's also no contest. You've got the God of Israel, big G, versus the God, small g, of the Philistines. Boys and girls, who's going to win that? God with the big G or God with the small g? God with the big G, isn't he? Our God, the God of Israel. It's no contest. You see, the key here is God's work, as David recognizes. David brings down Goliath with one stone. One stone right in the right place. What are the odds? Was David a good shot? Yes. But more importantly, God is a good shot. God brings the victory. He gave David the confidence, the strength, the aim to have the victory against Goliath. As David rightly notes here, in this battle, God is not mocked by his enemies. He will not tolerate it. He defends his honor here and throughout history. And here God saves. Not by sword, not by might, but through a young man who God has blessed with a good aim. A man who had been written off by his brothers, who said he was just here to get a picture of the battle, he was just here to get some glory for himself. From Saul, who didn't trust in him, who wasn't confident initially. But God saves through the unexpected, through humble, through weak means. God doesn't save through sword and spear. No, God saves through a man. Through a man who came to earth. A man who was nothing much to look at. God saved the entire human race. God saved his people. God saved the world through his son. God saved his children through the weakest way imaginable. Just think about it. The weakest way imaginable. He saved his children by dying. By dying on a cross. So that those who are weak, as we sung earlier this morning, will be strong. That those who believe in Jesus Christ may be strong. And it's because of this king who died in the weakest way imaginable. It's because of this king, brothers and sisters, that we will win the ultimate battle. That the forces of Satan, the forces of darkness cannot win because Jesus Christ has already won the victory for us. Jesus wins. We win. And even so, if we lose those battles, even if we lose those smaller battles, the battle sometimes against sin in our life, the battle of our health, the fight against death, as we succumb sometimes to our fears, we can still live knowing that we will win in the end, that the Lord has won for us. We can face life with confidence as we rely on him. Knowing that with God on our side, whatever we face, he will never let us down. Yes, we may stumble. We may fall flat on our face. But that is only ever going to be temporary. With Jesus Christ on our side, we can face anything. Despite real enemies, despite real fears, despite major, humanly impossible battles that we face. Does that mean that the Christian life is going to be a free ride? An easy one? Well, no. There is nowhere here in this book that promises that we will have an easy life. Until we feast with Jesus Christ in heaven. So where is your trust this morning? brother, sister, friend. As you face real enemies, as you have real fears, where do you place your confidence in? Do you place it in sword or spear? Your bank account? Your own charisma? Your own charm? The help that you're going to get from others? Or do you place your confidence in Jesus Christ? Because if you place your confidence in Jesus Christ, you always will win. If not here on this life, ultimately in eternity. Do you trust him? Do you place your confidence in him? Can you say like David says, the Lord is on my side, I will win the battle? A number of weeks ago, we spoke about, in the evening service, about the work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is remind us and give us confidence of the promises of God's Word. We're going to conclude this morning, by saying together one of the most powerful promises in God's Word. I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be using the ESV, but it's up there on the screen as well. But turn with it. If you have your Bibles, please turn there as well so you can read it and remember where it is as well in the Bible. Page 944, Romans 8. We're going to read together verses 31 through 39. I'll give you just a second to turn to that. And as we're saying these words together, brothers and sisters, remember, this is God's promise to you this morning. No matter what you face, no matter what you're facing right now, these are his words to you that you can hold on to. Let's say these words together, knowing that they're our words. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's been speaking about the troubles and trials that we have in life. And in verse 31, he says this. Let's say this together. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful promise we have in your word. That if you are for us, nothing can be against us. Nothing will win. Heavenly Father, those are wonderful, comforting words, but we confess that sometimes it's hard to hang on to those words. We face battles in our life. We face trials in our life. And we're in over our head. The waters are so far over our head that we don't know how we're going to cope. Lord, help us not to rely on our own strength. Help us, Lord, to place our trust and faith in you. Lord, sometimes we think and imagine in our own minds that if we do that, everything's going to be okay. That you'll take all of our trials and struggles away. You could do that, but you choose not to. You teach us in your word that even the struggles, the battles that we have, Lord, are helping us, are helping us to grow and prepare us in us for glory. But these are real struggles that we have and real trials. Lord, it is okay and appropriate to pray that you would take those away. And yes, you can do so. But if not, Lord, help us to have the confidence, the strength to trust in you and find strength in you. To rely on you and your work. To place our lives, our everything in your hands. And say, lead me. Guide me. Remind me of the victory that I do have in Jesus Christ. Lift up our heads as we face, yes, the impossible in our lives. Lift up our heads to you in heaven. Remind us of the victory that has been obtained, the victory that we're going to celebrate next week also in the Lord's Supper. Give us strength, we pray. Thank you that Jesus Christ wins the battle for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our closing song reminds us of where we're headed, where we are going. We're going to sing the first three stanzas. Just the first three, team. I noticed that I might have made a little mistake there in the bulletin, so the first three, and then we'll sing the last one after the blessing. But in verse 3 we sing this, looking at Jerusalem, the throne of David, from there from care release, the shout of them that triumph, the song of them that feast, that's going to be us, brothers and sisters. And they who with their leader have conquered in the fight, forever and forever, are clad in robes of white. Let's dream as we sing of the song of heaven. Let's stand and sing number 429.